Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, last Monday in December, last Monday in 2008. And as usual, on Mondays, we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? And we're starting a new section. We've been talking about success and our purpose, and we are starting a new topic within that about what hinders our purpose. Now, what's interesting is so many people are interested in what's holding them back, and yet they don't even understand what it is that they're moving to. And again, in our purpose, in the whole concept of success, we want to remind ourselves that we don't need to get somewhere. Our purpose now is not about arriving or accomplishing or achieving anything. Instead, it's about relationship. It's about knowing God, and we'll talk about some of the hindrances to achieving our purpose. But when we understand that our goal is not to please God or deserve a blessing from Him, or that if we don't do our part, God can't or won't do His part. But it's about learning to rest. And we talk so much about ruling and reigning here, but that's because we have entered into His rest. We struggle with some doctrinal concepts and belief concepts. And yet, what we will learn is that because we have confidence in who God is and how much He loves us right now, we can, instead of having to understand what He's doing and how He does it and how what He says fits in with other things, we can simply accept it. This releases us from relying on our own abilities, understanding, our own practical implementation of what He is saying. We can just accept it and give Him the time and attention that He needs to develop within us what He knows we'll need. We kind of look at what the military does. When you first enter it, they have that boot camp. And you're not only building up physically, but you're also being those relationships to the things, the mindset and the relationships that you used to have are broken down, so that those new relationships that you form will be structured to help you get through what's coming. So we know that going into the military. We also need to know that going into knowing God, that He knows what's best for us. He knows what we need to be ready, to be prepared, to enjoy what He has for us. So what we fight oftentimes is our need to control, our need to understand, our need to do things our way. And what God says is, no, I know exactly what you're going to need in the future, and I will have you ready for it. So when we talk, when we're talking about what our purpose is now, and when we're talking about learning to know Him and rest in Him and enjoy Him, it's not just jargon. It's not just religiosity. There are things that, on an individual basis, God is putting His finger on things in our lives, each one of us, whether it's through circumstances or through Him speaking to us personally, and probably both. But whatever it is He's working on in your life, if it's that important to Him that regardless of what other circumstances are going on in your life, if it that's what's important to Him, where that's what He's dealing with you about, what other issues are you saying is more important? Say if everyone around you, maybe in your family or your group or your work, is saying we need to learn how, you know, this is what God is telling us to do. This is, we need to be, you know, preparing in this way. And God is telling you, I want you to be learning how to do this. Say everyone else around you is telling you we need to be saving up. We need to be putting all our money in the bank and making sure that we're going to be taken care of. And God's saying, I'm teaching you how to give. That's what you need to be learning. Now, we've talked often about testing what you hear and about being available to start and turn and go back. And, you know, the learning process is what's important. Not the arrival, not the graduation, because you've already gotten an A+. Okay? You're already in Him. That's not going to change. He loves you and accepts you right now. You're in the family. And He, again, has taken responsibility for training you and educating you and providing for you. And a lot of times we don't know what we're learning while we're learning it. That's, you know, that's not what's important. Who gets the credit for learning it? You know, when we say, oh, God is teaching me this, is He really? Or is that just what you're seeing? Odds are He's teaching you a lot more than one thing at a time. We've talked before about the iceberg, that what we see God doing is only 1/100th. Of what's really going on. And then He brings it to the surface. He shows us the rest of what's going on. And we get overwhelmed. But remember, by the time He brings us in on what He's doing, He's already done the vast, vast majority of the work. And He just wants us involved in the last part of it. Now, what we have a tendency to do is, if we don't know that He's done 99% of the work, is we either work real hard at trying to finish that 1%, or when we get through that 1%, we want to take the credit. Look how, you know, look at this huge thing I've done. God showed it to me. I fixed it. Aren't I great? And odds are that will be something down the road that God's going to deal with you about as well. It's so nice, though, that we can trust Him, that we don't have to be looking for something to be working on. You know, even if it seems like everything's fine, nothing's, you know, God's, you know, we're not hearing from Him, He's not doing anything in our lives, everything's just, you know, rolling along, either in a good direction or a bad direction outwardly, that regardless of that, He is working on our behalf. And very often the reason he doesn't show us anymore is because he doesn't want us to interfere. Now, over time, as we become trustworthy, that we're not going to meddle in his business, he wants to reveal to us what he's doing. You know, so many of his people want to know what God's going to do in the future. You know, what is coming up? What is coming up for the church, for the world, for the family? And yet, God can't tell us because we don't know how to keep a secret. We figure if God tells us, it's our duty or our job to tell everyone else. And yet, what is trust all about? What is privacy? What is intimacy all about? Keeping one another's secrets. And this is not his judgment on our character. It's his recognition of our lack of that skill. It's not about immaturity or maturity. Spiritually, you're as mature now as you're ever going to get. And as you're as mature spiritually as God himself. But there are skills in our soul that we need to learn, and one of them is the skill of keeping our mouth shut. So if our purpose is to enter into his rest and to know him and to work with him, be on the same page with him, and so if success is judged individually and objectively in our lives according to that purpose, in other words, if God is working with me in teaching me how to hear his voice at a moment's notice, at a very subtle call, and I start to do that, then I'm a success in that area. So our evaluation of what success is going to be different than others. But if our purpose is to know him and rest in him, what is hindering our purpose now? And first, the first big hindrance that we have that is keeping us from our purpose now, knowing him, is misconceptions about who we are, who God is, and what he is doing in our lives hinders our purpose now. So this goes back to our misbeliefs, our misunderstandings, our preconceived ideas. Do you know why you believe what you believe? Beliefs are caught. They're not taught. Who you've been hanging around with, who raised you, what suits you, that's usually how we develop our beliefs. They're caught, not taught. And we're often not even aware that much of what we believe contradicts something else we believe. This is one reason there's so many versions of the Bible and an ever-growing number of denominations. God wants us to know his ways. He's a person. He can speak for himself. And he wants us to know his voice, his ways, how he does things, how he feels and thinks about us, and how he works on our behalf. When we look to someone or something else to explain God's character to us, rather than experiencing that character for ourselves, we are hindering God's purpose for us now. When we keep God at arm's length, in favor of our own beliefs, our own references, our own sources, we are denying him his purpose in our lives. We are denying his lordship, his authority. It hinders God from revealing truth to us directly. Now, his truth gives life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So that we can think something is true because it fits our beliefs. But remember, a fact is anything I can get you to believe. So our only source of reality, of ultimate truth, is God himself. For example, there's a popular saying in Christianity that goes, we're not human doings, we're human beings. You know, so we're not supposed to look to what we do for our identity, but a state of being for our identity. Problem is, neither is true. We're not human doings, but we're not human beings either. When you became a Christian, you became a spirit being with the nature of your Father. But because it's a quotable quote and easy to remember, these kinds of little cliches shape our beliefs and our approaches to God. You know, what would Jesus do? What are, you know, the purpose-driven life? You know, excuse me, I'm not driven. It's the opposite of what God has for us, is to be driven at all. But they're little quotables, and they give us something to do. They give us a handle. They give us direction and boundaries. And you know, those things are so much easier than knowing God. Because knowing God, you're going to have to give up some of your beliefs. You're going to have to change. And none of us likes change. None of us likes to give up that control. But God entices us, and he draws us. It's the goodness of God that draws us. And once we've tasted what he has for us, we're willing to give him free rein in our lives. We're willing to say, okay, God, don't let anything stand in the way of you accomplishing your purpose in my life, which that's really what our purpose is. We're on the same page with him spiritually. So you are in agreement with him. You've agreed to what he's doing in your life. So just because we hear something often, or it's the only thing we've been taught, or everybody else believes it, we think it's a fact. And when someone comes along and questions it, we crucify them. Oh, wait a minute, that's a different story. We talk about the Pharisees and how terrible it was that they crucified Christ. And we look and go, okay, but he was, you know, the Son of God. Yeah, but he didn't believe what they believed. He had a different message, and it affected their lives. They couldn't stand that, could they? Things haven't changed. When you present a new way of looking at God, if it rubs people the wrong way, you will find out quickly. there's little tolerance, there's little patience, there's little openness in the religious circles of today. Isn't it interesting how much concern there is over being deceived? How small must God be if we can't talk about things, we can't discuss things, because someone might be led into deception? God must be shaken in his boots. I don't think so. I think he wants us to question what we believe, knowing that what is from him will be left standing. He knows he's got the way, the truth, and the life. And when we become dissatisfied with what we believe, we're willing to accept reality, his reality, which is truth, which is that true reality, that eternal life. So as we embrace God's purpose for us, it will involve change. And our perception of who we are will have to change. And our perception of who we think God is will have to change. And our perception of who others, who we think others are, you know, we've talked about others who believe that they have authority in your life, and finding out that, you know, no, you're not the authority in my life. There's only one spiritual authority in my life, and that's God. And I don't have to do something just because you say so. I don't have to believe something just because everybody else says so, or that it's written down somewhere, or that that's what, you know, God's going to hold you accountable for. It's like, well, no thanks, I think I'll pass. Well, then you're going to be vulnerable to deception. Like, actually, I'm now vulnerable to truth. I was already deceived. Now I'm vulnerable to truth. So we have a ways to go, but God can take us there quickly. And what God is looking for is to make it clear to you your true nature, your true identity. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. When you start living out of that reality, you'll begin to see what's going on in your life in the perspective God has. Nothing's out of his control. Nothing's happening to you that he's like, oh, didn't see that coming. What are we going to do now? He never says, oh, I guess we'll have to revert to plan B. He never stops time so he can figure out what to do. You are in him. He is in you. You are one. It's not something you can figure out. Just you're one. So it's not that he's invested in you and he wants a return on his investment. It's that you're one in him and he's looking out for himself, which is you. Now, to see from his perspective, we have to be willing to leave behind our own perspectives. And he will do that. He will change you. He will bring you to his perspective, to his way of seeing things and his way of doing things, in his good timing, in his way. So we can be patient. We can enjoy ourselves here. And that kind of brings us to our second a second hindrance to our purpose. Knowing ourselves according to our temperament hinders our purpose now, which is one of the reasons it's so important that you know what your temperament is, because that's going to color your perception of God, of your reality. And when we think that the way we think, feel, and act, that's who we are restricting God's purpose. We are disagreeing with God. He's saying, no, that's what your soul is. That's not who you are. You are not how you're feeling today. You're not what you're thinking about. You're not what you're doing. You're not a sum total of your past or your dreams for your future. You are a spirit being, which is eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, all the characteristics that God is, you are. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The seed brings forth of its own kind. So we live very often according to the belief that our temperament is who or what we are. And even within Christian circles, we see our ministry as an extension of our temperament. And I love it that God sent Paul to the Gentiles. The Jew among Jew, he sent to the Gentiles. He sent them to the people that he was not equipped to minister to. But you know what? He knew how to get equipped. He knew how to hear from God. And I love it that Paul was not one of the original apostles. You know, he knew how to hear from God without being there person to person. So this is our pattern. Who are we being taught by? And are we interpreting what we're hearing, what we believe, through the filter of our temperament? So we start with knowing what our temperament is, finding it out. And then seeing, okay, oh, I probably see God as wanting me to do more all the time because that's where I feel my temperament is the weakest. Is I'm not very motivated. I don't want to go out and do things. So that's probably why I think God is always mad at me because I'm not doing things. Or I think God is mad at me because I'm mad at myself. I don't know why, I just feel angry. And we're letting our emotions and our minds and our thoughts and our actions dictate our perception of God. So someone who has a strong intellect may believe that their value to God and to themselves and to others as well is measured in terms of doing something with their intellect. What can they offer the church? What new concept or idea? Likewise, someone who is compassionate and caring toward people may believe that God gave them those qualities in order to minister to people. But our temperaments, the way God put our individual soul together, is not the basis upon which he evaluates us. He doesn't come to you and evaluate, this is my beloved son because he's compassionate. It's like, no, I gave him the soul he has. I made him compassionate. That was my choice for him. And I accept him exactly the way he is. So we'll pick up there next Monday. And in the meantime, we'll be, again, meeting together again tomorrow at 7:30, but then the rest of next week we'll be off. So for a Monday series, I'll see you next year. Have a great rest of the week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.